Casey Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer.
And it's Show Tunes Day.
It's Show Tunes Day. We were just singing The Little Mermaid. Actually, Will started it.
Yeah,
I did.
Who'd have thunk that was going to happen?
Name that song? Was that a show?
Name that tune was this
name
show.
Tune, yeah.
Before you were born, apparently.
But he's an old soul, that Will.
Uh-huh. From the 70s.
Uh-huh. So to my left is Broadway star extraordinaire. Add to his list of credits, Will Hottie Patati Schmidt.
All right.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be great. Just we go to a play one day, Will never even told
yeah,
us.
Yeah.
You're like an singing. Annie?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're Broadway, downtown Los Angeles, and you're in a show there.
On Skid Row.
That's a different kind of show.
It's a very, very different kind of show.
So today, we're having another potluck show with the Ask Tony question.
Ask.
I even thought of that earlier, to pronounce the K. Ask Tony.
Yeah, good
questions.
Job. Good job.
These questions have been asked of Tony. Yeah,
right.
And now we're getting around to talk about them.
Yeah, we're going to answer Tony.
The questions, exactly. Okay. So if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, what is your holdup? Go to Kick It in the Nuts. That's where we always post our topics that we'll be doing for future shows, and you guys can ask any questions.
A lot of you guys aren't even waiting for us to post topics anymore. You're just like, hey, talk about this.
Yeah.
And so we have some of those in this show today.
Yep, exactly. So should we just dive right on in? Or
yeah, let's dive in.
Message from our sponsor or anything like that?
Nah, let's just answer things.
All right, let's answer things. Okay. So Tammy from Valdosta, Georgia.
Valdosta?
Valdosta, is that it?
Yeah, I used to go through Valdosta a lot.
Oh, you went
it's
through
nice.
Valdosta, yeah. Okay. I have the lap band. Will this hinder my getting on your program or not?
So when you look at any kind of thing that is a stomach that has been restricted, or maybe they took some of it out, or whatever they're doing in an attempt to make it smaller, with most cases of obesity, there's other issues, and we talk about those on a gazillion different shows. And, you know, just making the stomach smaller doesn't really fix any of those issues. But that doesn't mean that you can't do the things that we recommend people doing when their goal is to lose weight. You can still look at your chemistry and try and figure out what's going on, what's making it difficult for you not to eat the junk or too much or any of that kind of stuff. There is one problem that we have to look at, though, and I've had a few clients that have had some type of bypass or lap band or something like that. And the problem was that to fix some of these issues, whether it be, you know, maybe the person's digestion isn't working well and they can't, you know, pull nutrients out of the food they're eating, they may need to take quite a few supplements. You know, a lot of times when people start off, they need to be a little bit aggressive. It's not like taking a drug where it's this, you take one thing and it's as powerful as a locomotive train that's going to run over you. It's not like that when you use something natural. So a lot of people need to take quite a few capsules in order to get things going. You know, just with HCL, we teach people how to ramp up to 5 per meal or something. But if somebody's had a bypass, that's about all that's going to fit in there is about 5 HCL capsules and maybe a bite or two of their meal. So that can be a little problematic.
Yeah, you may really have to work with your altered anatomy to form new habits that work for your system. So like maybe smaller, more frequent meals that really just have what you need in them. So I guess, you know, you can look at it as it was a, you know, let's work with what you've done as an advantage of like, okay, now you have to make these new healthy habits because you have to.
Yeah. So.
Because I know people, you know, even in my family that have lap band that have gained their weight all back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a cure-all, fix-all.
No.
And if you're only eating tiny little, like, 3 bites, if you can't digest it, then that's still going to be a toxin for your body, so.
And I think that's one of the biggest problems with those types of fixes that people do is they view it as, oh, well, I'm eating much less now. I lose weight, but I can still get away with eating whatever I want. And they continue to, you know, maybe a meal is just M&Ms, and they're still spiking insulin level and causing the body to store fat. And they haven't corrected the problem that is the body needs actual nutrients. That's why most people eat too much, or they can't get past the cravings of the junk and they continue to eat that. It's because the body's needing other stuff. It's gimme, gimme, gimme. And so it doesn't mean that you can't do these things if you have lap band or some kind of stomach restriction. You're just going to have to alter the steps that we talk about a lot. And one thing that I've had someone do that was successful, but it was successful because it was appropriate for them, is that instead of using HCL capsules to improve digestion, they were just using a little bit of apple cider vinegar each time that they ate, you know, a protein that they needed a little bit of a boost to help it digest. And it was appropriate for them because they weren't overly anabolic already, where if someone was very anabolic, they may need to do some work to fix that before they were using a whole lot of apple cider vinegar that could make that worse.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it's pretty much exactly the same as whether you had the lap band or not, as far as like what foods will work for you when your digestion's working well. You might just really have to restrict your portion size and really take it, like really utilize the amount of like stomach function you have, you know, and don't think, okay, now it's like you're saying, like it's a free for all. I can just eat whatever I want now because I'm going to eat so little. Like having just a little bit of really not healthy food and no healthy food because you don't have space for it is also a recipe for disaster. Like it could even further slow down your metabolism. If all you've done is restrict calories and all the calories you're still consuming are bad, like that's not going to help you lose body fat, or you'll lose a lot of like lean muscle tissue and bone density and light years off your life.
But like that.
You want to really take advantage of like get the nutrients into your body that you need, and try to work with your chemistry to get rid of like the cravings that made you overeat for the years that inspired the surgery in the first place.
Right, and think about, you know, if you're going through the things that we suggest and you're like, okay, what do I adjust? What I've had some people do in the past was, you know, we'll talk about, let's say that someone has to fix digestion. Let's say they have to use BeetFlow and HCL and enzymes, and they, you know, they really need to use all those to fix that problem if digestion is a problem for them. So this is just an example. You know, we tell people to take, you know, a few BeetFlow before the meal and then HCL in the middle of the meal, maybe an enzyme just before the meal or something like that. But BeetFlow is something that you could take at any time. So I had people take that in between when they were eating. So, you know, maybe there's not, you don't need to take all the supplements right when you're eating. HCL is really the only one that really has to be taken in the middle of that meal. And then keep in mind that if you're using any mineral supplements, that those should go in near a meal. You want digestive action to help you process those minerals. But vitamins, amino acids, BeetFlow, those things could be taken a little bit away from the meal. So you might be like kind of doing something all day if your meals are already very small and very frequent because your stomach is small. And now if you're going to add in, well, I'm going to take a few capsules in between meals, you might be doing something every 30 minutes or so, and that's okay because it'll still allow you to fix some issues.
Would you be a bigger fan of like liquid meals for someone in this case, like shakes and such?
So yeah, shakes could be a good idea in some circumstances like this if the shake is not crap. You know, because
no, I didn't mean like a McDonald's, like a protein Oreo. Yeah.
I'd be for that, Dad. McDonald's shake every
day. Right. So
Will said, like Oreo melt.
You know, but that's a great point. Is that you can do some things in a liquid form that would be very beneficial. Like bone broth would be an amazing thing because it has all of those nutrients in there that your body is really starving for that maybe you're not getting from poor digestion. You could use our protein powder, the Natural Selection Nutritionals, because that has a lot of nutrients that are hard to find in a lot of foods. So as long as you're not using some sugar-fied thing or something that has all these artificial sweeteners, and there's a lot of proteins that we're not big fans of, you know, soy and whey and things that are going to cause other problems. But it could be beneficial to do that because, you know, when you're having bone broth or a quality shake, something that you make, you don't need digestive supplements to help break that down. It's already very easy to access. I just don't like to see somebody doing the liquid diet all the time. I don't I don't feel that's appropriate. I know you don't either.
Yeah.
I don't even think Kenna thinks that's appropriate.
It's not fun
depends
either.
Depends on if it's alcohol, though.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, like, this person should probably listen to the Cravings episode and take the almost free digestion course at Kick It Naturally, probably, huh?
KickItNaturally.com. Yeah, yeah, we have a new website that we put some stuff on, and it's fancy. So those things might help you do that. And then just keep in mind that when you're learning from those places, that you may just have to adjust some things because of your circumstances, but that's okay. You can still see some results.
And then you can also at some point take off the lap band, right? They can remove those and get rid of it if they thought that they were, like, good to go. Like, they'd worked on everything and they're like...
I don't know that a doctor would say, yeah, you're probably good to go, but I think a person could explain, yeah, look, I'm good to go.
Yeah, I'm good to go. Take this thing off of me.
So that's up to the person, and I think it depends on the type of surgery they have as to what the options are. A lot of people, will, you know, they're cutting out part of the stomach and re-sewing it up. They, you know, that's a different thing. But even when they do those, you hear about a lot of people where their stomach stretches out again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know that you think you had family members that
exactly
have had that. Let's take a break real quick because Kenna has stuff she wants to tell us about.
Oh, yeah. If you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
That sounded almost like we recorded it.
Maybe that was really good.
Just got it down. Were you not nervous or something?
Nailed that, right, yeah.
I must have minerals today or something.
Yeah, must. Okay, let's go to our next question.
Okay, Cindy. Just received Tony's book, Done With Being Fat. Brief background. Hit 200 pounds in fifth grade. Turned 50 in July. No kids. Crappy relationship. No support, but smart enough to know that knowledge is the best defense against anything needing conquered. Have a treadmill at home. Dust it off every week. Am only on one prescription for thyroid, get blood work done every 3 months, still not there yet, but really fed up with not getting anywhere with losing weight. I'm self-employed at home, borderline recluse. I'm very inspired from what I have read so far and will be purchasing the correct supplements to get things going. This makes so much sense. Just wanted to let you know I'm very excited and this is really the last attempt. I'm so tired of failing. Thanks for listening. Aww.
So Cindy doesn't even have a question, but it's you know, I think a lot of people need to hear this because I think a lot of people are in this situation.
Oh,
And so if we talk about some things that give them some ideas, I do love, you know, you hear so often that, you know, my treadmill is right in my living room. It's perfect to hang my clothes on. I dry them on there every time. It's very effective.
All my workout DVDs have, you know,
I stack them right up on the treadmill.
I use them as coasters now.
So, you know, the thing, though, Cindy, is that let's say that you did the treadmill and you saw results, you probably would not skip it as often. It wouldn't be a thing where, like, I might as well dust it off and give this a shot this time. You would be excited about doing it because the results were coming, you were feeling better, all that stuff. And that's, I think, the perception that a lot of people have, because that's the perception that's given out there by mainstream so-called experts that are here to help us. But the reality is that, it's just not true that walking on a treadmill or running or doing any type of workout really is not going to bring the weight loss results if the other problems are not handled first.
Yeah, the food's like 90% of it.
It really is. And, you know, all that workout stuff can really be great to set somebody up and put them in a good position, mm-hmm, to accelerate results, to make things better, make them feel better, stronger, all those things. It's amazing stuff, but it works 0% of the time if you're not fixing the other stuff.
And if she doesn't have any support, she should definitely join our private free support group on Facebook.
Yeah, it's really a big deal. And let's say that someone's shy, because this is, you know, Cindy's off obviously a little bit ballsy just to write this without even looking for information, you know, but a lot of people are not. A lot of people are very shy. They think about a support group, I'm going to go in there and somebody might ask me what my name is, and it horrifies them, and that restricts their ability to get the help that they need. So, but it's good for people to know that in this support group, you ask to join, and you come in, and it's totally private. If you ask a question...
And you shave your head.
Yeah. And as soon as your head is shaved, we allow you to ask questions. No, we limit the head shaving. But if you decide to ask a question, only the people in the group can see it. But even if you don't, there's people in there every day asking questions, and you can just kind of stalk the group and until somebody asks the question that you're looking for, and somebody will give them some answers, and you can kind of get your own help just by looking at what other people have asked and answered and that kind of stuff. So it can be really beneficial. But you're right to be excited from what you've read, because odds are great that you've been working against yourself for a long time and against your body. And once you figure out how to work with your body, it really can be a different game. So it's just a matter of figuring that out. What are some of the biggest things that that we talk about that usually someone figures out that helps them succeed at this?
Well, definitely digestion is like the paramount, ultimate. And I think if you look at it like a farmer is a really good approach, especially for someone who's been overweight for so long. You could see dramatic results right away, and then it also might be more like something you have to work at for a while. If your body's had major imbalances for a long time, like, you may have to just start with like just trying to clear out your digestive system from a bunch of like problems, like whether your stomach acid levels are low, or your bile's stuck, or intestinal flora is all off. Like, that might take a little work, and then once that happens, there might be a bunch of like detoxification your body has to go through, like maybe fatty acids accumulating in your tissues, or hormones that are all off, or an underactive thyroid. So don't be discouraged, like, if you don't all of a sudden lose 100 pounds. Like,
right,
it might be a lot of like groundwork you got to do. But the great thing I think about the system is like we're taking like a very strategic problem solving approach, where we look at things that you can measure and track and see, like, okay, these symptoms are related to this measurement in my chemistry, and I can watch that improve, and that can help give you more of a sense of empowerment and a more intelligent approach to, like, if you just tried this for like a week and you didn't see yourself lose a pound, you know, if you saw your chemistry shift, you'd be like, oh wow, I was making progress,
I did something, I affected,
yeah,
something,
my bile flow improved. Like, that doesn't mean you're gonna lose weight all of a sudden, but it will be a piece of the puzzle. So
right,
I think it helps to have these more tangible measurements that we can take, which a lot of times, especially if, like, if you have depression or emotional issues, you may not see yourself changing in the mirror, because you may have this like mental block about, oh, I'm just fat or whatever, it's not working. Uh-huh. Like, but if you can look at these numbers and be like, oh, these make sense to me, I'm going to just keep going, even though I don't necessarily see something yet, I witness these changes.
Right. I think that was interesting with Kenna too, as I remember, you know, she didn't lose 30 pounds right off the bat, but I remember that she had some physical issues that seemed to change pretty rapidly, and it was enough for her to get excited to see, oh wow, I've never been able to make this change before, but I have been. And it can kind of motivate you to want to do more, to see, oh, what else will improve.
Yeah. And it's all too about baby steps, you know. You don't have to try every single thing in Tony's book the first day.
Yeah,
I mean, that'll overwhelm you. So just pick one thing. If that thing is, okay, I'm going to start looking at my numbers, you should start off looking at whatever you can from the beginning, so you have something to judge it by. And then say, I'm going to stop Cokes this week. I'm not going to drink a Coke or a soda or whatever. I'm not going to do fast food.
Yeah, I'm going to see
just
what happens when I add sea salt to my food. Does that make me crave a little bit less? I wonder what that'll do. And you know, there are some steps that are super simple that you just kind of start tossing in and see what works for you. And the things that overwhelm you, maybe you build up to those. Maybe you ask questions about those. Maybe you see people in the group having success with those, so that you say, oh, maybe that is worth figuring out and doing the effort for that if I see people having success with that. But, you know, if you start with anything, it's just about tricking yourself into wanting to do more. And usually the best trick is to see something improve, no matter what that is.
Yeah, and I seem to remember, like, I didn't lose weight that fast in the beginning, but then once it started hitting, then I was losing pretty good weight pretty fast.
Pretty consistently.
Yeah, pretty consistently. And it just, I mean, your body's going to hold on to it for a little bit until it finds out, oh, so this is what we're doing now, you know, and I can, like, get rid of some of this. And because it's going to hold on to stuff maybe in the beginning. It might not, but it might. So just, you know, look at your numbers.
There's a lot of factors that go into how hard it's going to be. And
Everybody's different.
Are you pooping? Is your bile flowing? There's all that kind of stuff. But it's just exciting to see someone who's been trying for so long get new information and say, whoa, that makes sense, and I've never done that. So maybe that's enough for me to make some things happen.
Yeah, so Kick Your Fat support group.
Yeah, just search for us on Facebook and join, and we can't wait to hear about what happens with you, Cindy.
And maybe one more thing. Like, it sounds like the support group, I think, is an awesome mm-hmm. thing. She might also want to try to find, like, either a health coach online or a local practitioner, because it sounds like isolation is kind of an issue.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be married with this, like, perfect American family to feel, like, comfortable. But maybe if you have a health coach that you're, like, interacting with and working with, that could be, like, some emotional support that it sounds like she's voicing she needs.
A lot of them work just through email. Yeah. So that's a pretty easy thing for someone to do.
Yeah.
And I think now we're probably talking, you know, obviously Cindy's okay because she sent us an email, mm-hmm. so she can handle that. But I think there's a lot of people where that's very difficult to do. And so understanding that starting off with what you can, you know, there are other options. It doesn't have to be, I need to show up where there's a trainer that's going to scream at me. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, get on the support group and hit me with an email or something like that, because I go through the same stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, Leanna. Recently, I was diagnosed with a non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Would you talk about this?
I would. I would talk about this.
Anywhere? You would just talk.
No, I'll do it now.
Like if we were sitting on a next to a stranger on a bus.
I just start talking.
I bet you would.
But that would suck. Like you didn't even get to have the alcohol for the fun, and you had liver disease. It's like, lame. What is this, secondhand alcohol drinking?
It's like getting AIDS from a blood transfusion. Like, what?
Okay, so let's look at a couple things here, because there's a lot of confusion about this, and when you look at what some of the things that we understand now, it seems a little bit silly. But the biggest one would be that most of the medical world wants to tell people when they have any type of fatty liver disease. And we'll come back to the alcoholic and non-alcoholic factor in a second. But a lot of them like to tell you, oh, well, you need to be on a low-fat diet because your liver is too fatty. So we need to remove all those fats from you, and the problem is that a low-fat diet makes the problem worse, because when you remove fats from your diet, you're going to increase your carbohydrate intake, and most people can't really consume enough fat to make their liver fatty, but the body can create enough fat to make it fatty much easier than it would be to make that happen just by consuming fat. And what happens is when we eat carbohydrates, we store that as glycogen. But that's only a limited storage in the liver and in our muscles and everything. And when that's full, now the body's going to take the excess carbohydrate and turn it into a saturated fat. And then those saturated fats start to store, and they can also bond with glycerol to form triglycerides, and then those start to store in the liver and we get fatty liver. So it's similar to where they look at heart attack victims and like, oh, they have all this saturated fat in here, so we got to stop allowing them to eat saturated fat to get rid of heart disease. That was the popular thing for many, many years and decades. And we know now that it's just wrong. Science has proven over and over again, oh, look at that, we did it wrong. Absolutely. And we know now that you can reduce those issues by reducing the level of carbohydrate intake if your body is in a position where it can't process those carbs. Maybe we need to get into a little bit about, insulin resistance and inability to process those and that kind of stuff too.
So, I mean, I think that's maybe the most important thing to look at, like why would that be happening if I was eating, you know, just from eating carbs? And it usually comes from either an inability to use those carbohydrates effectively, or consumption of too many carbs, or the wrong kind of carbs, like starches, as opposed to like naturally occurring fruit sugars. Right. Starch is much more likely to be stored as triglycerides or synthesized into triglycerides. And there's all sorts of things that can inhibit our cells' ability to use carbohydrates for energy. Like an underactive thyroid, elevated estrogen, elevated cortisol levels, insulin resistance, too many fatty acids in the blood, elevated D-lactic acid, all sorts of things that inhibit regular cell...
CO2 stuff, yeah. Not enough and stuff like that.
Right, low CO2. All these things that inhibit regular cellular respiration, which is the mitochondria's, which is like little engines in the cells, the use of glucose for energy. All those things that I just mentioned can inhibit that. And when that's inhibited, even if you're eating like what, you know, the doctor said was like the healthy kind of carbs, they may not get used for fuel and instead get synthesized as triglycerides and contribute to fatty liver disease.
Yeah, and think of this is the big problem is, you know, Will's explaining that when there's too much sugar in the system because it's not able to be used properly, it gets converted. But to your body may be saying, hey, man, I need some sugar. What is wrong with those cupcakes right there? Eat those cupcakes right now. And you get these horrible cravings and you can't help but eat this junk. It's because your body needs that glucose, but it's not getting any even though you're eating it. So you continue to eat more of it gets converted to fat, more of it gets stored as saturated fat or triglycerides and all these other problems. And you know, that's a huge problem. You have to kind of look at, okay, I need to adjust what's not only going in, but you probably have to adjust some digestive issues and some physiological issues so that your body can use glucose from the food that you are eating. And that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, if someone wants to dive deeper into this specific aspect, they can look up a article by Repeat called Sugar Issues. They just Google or go to repeat.com and type in the search box sugar issues. You'll see this where he talks about diabetes really not necessarily coming from consumption of too much carbohydrates, but an inability to use those carbohydrates. And he'll really highlight the role of estrogen and unsaturated or polyunsaturated fatty acids really screwing up the system. So if you want to look deeper into that, the science of like, what are we talking about? Why would that happen? That's a good place to look.
Right, and one thing, and Ray Pete is a little more advanced, so if you're new to all this, it might not be the first place you want to go, because if you get confused, you might say, okay, I can't do any of this, but that's a great place to look for deeper stuff. But one problem to look at is that, you know, the American Liver Foundation says that, like, about 25% of America is dealing with a fatty liver, and they say that the big correlating factors that go along with that are obesity, diabetes, high cholesterol, and high triglycerides.
Oh, funny, isn't it?
Isn't that weird that all of those things are exactly caused by excessive starch and carbohydrate intake? Mm. And yet, with this situation, they're still telling people, you got to go on a low-fat diet if you have fatty liver disease.
Mm.
So we see that it's an error. The science shows that, you know, these are not the ways to fix cholesterol and diabetes and all these things, is not to go on a low-fat diet. We know that now. And so you have to translate this over to fix the fatty liver disease. Going on a low-fat diet is not the best option.
One thing to think about, I think you'd agree with me, is if you can't digest fats well, it's not really going to serve you to eat plenty of fat at the moment. So, like, if your liver function is impaired where it's not producing healthy bile that's getting to the duodenum where it should and its role in digestion, you need to work on that before you can really benefit from consuming fat. So maybe if your liver function is really low, you wouldn't necessarily be on a high-fat diet. But the solution still is not, like, a high-carb diet.
Right.
The solution is work on your liver function and try to alter your diet so that you stop perpetuating the fatty liver.
Right, yeah, it's definitely not, we're not saying that it's a high-fat diet that fixes it, but it is. You do need the ability to process those fats. You need the ability to process proteins so that you don't need so many starches and carbohydrates. So it's pretty common that fixing digestion is the priority if you want to try and make that switch to a diet that's going to help this specific situation. So, yeah, I'm kind of upset that we didn't even mention that before.
Okay. Well, we did now. So.
All right, so
and Leanne, I mean, since you said Ray Pete's a kind of advanced, she could get your book, which today all
I'm
of our listeners can get a free
novice
audiobook from audible.com. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook for the details, and you can get Tony's book there Or another book.
Or
for free.
Yeah, Tina Fey has a book.
Right? Yeah, right. Saucy Pants, exactly. Uh-huh. Amy Schumer's new book gonna come out.
Oh, that's great.
So
just know that we do see people improve this issue, and you know the liver is a big deal because a lot of times in these situations it's already overwhelmed. Or the body is overwhelmed, and of course the liver will be overwhelmed in turn. So helping the liver function better by helping bile flow better is crucial. And then improving digestion so you can eat other kinds of foods and reduce your starch intake, it's a big deal. So see what happens when you go that route.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
We did it. We knocked did it out.
Do you want? She should definitely take the free digestion course.
Well, it's
though.
Almost like, free.
It's almost free. We have inflation.
But yeah.
It went from free to 50 cents.
Sure. But in there, you'll learn tips of like, how do I help my liver function better? Like using Beet Flow or Zenoplex. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Stuff exactly. like that. Yeah. So that is a good place to kind of get the basics if you're having a hard time getting a grasp of it.
Exactly. It's almost free.
Almost.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the almost free 4-week digestion course at kickitnaturally.com. Or you can head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net, and he's got a bunch of great blogs, exercises, articles, all kinds of good stuff over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see you next week. We got some good questions for that
show. Yeah, later.